Jonah chapter 1. It's been a little while since we've been able to touch base on this, but this is our Sunday night series. And want to continue our look at this. We looked at a foundational message from Jonah and considering the background, the history, the author, and everything like that. And then we looked at our next message at the word of the Lord. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying. Tonight we go to the next step, and we find it here in verses 1 and 2. And it is the will of God for Jonah. The will of God for Jonah. I want you to look at Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 1 with me, and we'll consider this tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of the Lord was very specific. It speaks to the matter of the will of God. And in this passage, I believe you'd agree with me that we find very distinctively a clear distinction for what God wanted Jonah to do. I want you to go to this great city, Nineveh, and cry against it. I want you to tell them the judgment of God is pending, and it's time for them to repent. I want to preach tonight specifically on the will of God. There are those that think that the will of God is just a mystical thing and just so hard for me to discern and so hard for me to get a handle on. And perhaps tonight this is not a message that you're going to specifically use in your own life because you believe that you're exactly where God wants you to be. But it would be the kind of thing that I would desire for every parent to use in conjunction with their children and perhaps as grandparents, as you have opportunity to influence your grandchildren, this would definitely be a message to use to influence them. So a lot of ways that we can kind of tuck the theme of this message away into our gospel tool belt, if you would, and be able to help others as they seek to discern God's best for their lives. It would be nice if God would just come down as he did with Jonah and say, this is the will of God for you. Wouldn't that be fantastic? At times we've asked our boys, what does God want you to do? Where does God want you to go? What does he want you to say? And they'd respond, as many other young people would, well, Dad, I'm not sure. Mom, I'm not sure yet. And so it'd be great if God would just paint it in the clouds, if the plane would fly over and the banner would fly and say, I want you to do this. And some would like to think that the will of God is just this mystical issue, and we can't really know specifically or directly what God wants us to do. Take your Bibles, and let's do just a little bit of traveling. We would desire it to turn out this way. Take your Bibles, go with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is another Old Testament prophet. And again, this is very clear. 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says in verse number 1, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Verse number 2, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, So here's the word of the Lord. Here's God's will for Elijah. Elijah, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So God specifically reached out to Elijah and said, I want you to take this step. And then he said, I want you to take this step. And then he said, I want you to take this step. And we see very clearly the word of the Lord defining or detailing the will of the Lord. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to the New Testament, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, this is the testimony chapter of the Apostle Paul and the time frame in which God saved him. And in Acts chapter 9, we find the clear conversion of Saul, and God is going to set the course for Paul's life. Saul would become Paul. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Again, in these different illustrations, we find very specific details. The life of Elijah, the life of Jonah, the life of the Apostle Paul. Very specific details concerning the will of the Lord. And we'd say to ourselves, oh, if God would just do that very thing for me, then I would surely follow. I've said to you before, and I'll say it again, that the Word of God says to all of us, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so God does order our steps. The will of God is not mystical or unattainable. It's actually very clear, and God gives clear instructions. He doesn't write it in the sky. He doesn't send the vision in the overnight hours, but He does reveal Himself in the Word of God, and He gives to us His exact will. The will of God is not revealed in years and decades, though. It's revealed in simple steps and days. It's not in years and decades. It's revealed in simple steps and days. So if I'm to ask myself from the Word of God, what is God's will for my life? What does He say in His Word? I want you to see these things tonight. We're going to show five things tonight that are very clearly in the Word of God. And I want you to see these. Walk through them with me. 2 Peter chapter 3. Would you go there first of all? 2 Peter chapter 3. I believe if you see these things, and if you take your life and submit your life to Almighty God and these things that I'm going to share with you tonight from the Word of God, I believe that you'll live a life that would please the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse number 9. This is the first matter. The will of God is for everyone to be saved. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the starting point for every person. Do you know Christ is your Savior? For those that are here on campus, those that are watching online, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Has there been a time in your life where you've repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If that has not yet happened, then it is God's will tonight. I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt tonight that it is God's will for you to be saved. You know, I don't get saved by piggybacking my parents. I don't get saved by being just a part of an assembly. I don't get saved by doing good things in the community. The Bible says that my salvation is based upon what I've done with the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish. Now that's very hard for me to imagine. God, in His great love, desires that everyone come to know Him as their Savior. This is the starting point. Parents, your primary mission field is that of your children. You cannot make the choice for your children, but God's blessed you with those gifts, and He desires for you to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the starting point of that is salvation. From almost day one that the children are brought into this world, we ought to have a prayer life that says, Lord, please help my children to be saved. Help them to come to that understanding at an early stage of life. Help them to make sure that their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and that they're on their way to heaven. This is the starting point for everyone. I can say with calm assurance tonight, there's no doubt in my mind that God desires for each one to be saved. If you're not saved tonight, listen to me carefully. If you're not saved tonight, then you are out of the will of God. Plain and simple. It starts right there. Number two tonight, it's not only the will of God that we be saved, but would you turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This is not a message to those that are called to a ministerial degree. This is not a message just for those that are in ministerial training or in the ministry and serving on staff at a church or something like this. This is actually true for every one of us. Every single one of us ought to have the same heartbeat. I know for sure, Pastor, that I'm on my way to heaven. Number two, the will of God is not just for everyone to be saved, but then the will of God is found here. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, look what the Bible says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God desires for all of us to have this kind of yielded life. If I'm in this position, I understand that I am able to determine each step that God wants me to take, and I'll be in God's perfect will. Well, I don't want to make any decisions if I'm not in God's will, because those are all dangerous decisions. But the Bible reveals to us here the nature of our sacrificial gift back to Him. So we understand that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died on our behalf. He gave Himself a ransom for us all. He gave it all. And in turn, God says to each one of us, will you in turn and in like manner give your all back to me? Now, Jesus Christ did it to redeem us eternally from our sins. But we have the opportunity to give our lives back to Him, to yield our lives to whatever He would have us to do. Well, I desire, and I think my wife would say the same thing, we desire for our boys to go wherever God wants them to go, to say whatever God wants them to say, and to do whatever God wants them to do. If we're close by, great. But if we're not and they're in the will of God, I am of all people most content. We certainly enjoy our time with them, but we, above all of that, realize that the best location for our children is to be right in the center of God's perfect will. There are a lot of grieving parents tonight because their children made poor decisions. They went out and made poor decisions in this arena and in that arena. And in some cases, those parents have even watched their children go into eternity prematurely. And they're deeply saddened and filled with grief. I would sure rather see our children give their lives for Almighty God, even if that means that they give to the last full measure in the service of Almighty God, than to go into eternity having wasted their lives and wasted their potential. And so it's best for us as parents, as soon as our children are brought into this world, yes, we start praying for their salvation, but it's also best for us to begin praying for their service and to say, God, they're yours. Do with them as you would best direct. I know of many parents that began praying for their children's spouses early on and just praying, here, Will you please bring to this child of mine the exact one that you'd have them to marry one day? And they don't begin praying that at 18, 19, 21, and 22. They begin praying it at 1 and 2. I know even my own father-in-law said at the wedding ceremony that we had so many years ago. He looked right at me, looked me in the eyes, and he said, "You know, we've been praying for you for these last 20 plus years." And boy, that's a very sobering statement to know that parents are praying for their children to not only come to know Christ, but then to do whatever Christ would have them to do. But let me just say this to all the parents. You know, our young people will most likely follow in the footsteps that we've given to them. So if we're not yielded to whatever God wants us to do, it's unlikely that our kids are just going to make the determination on their own to then follow the Lord. The best thing for us is to model this kind of yieldedness, this kind of sacrifice, and for them to watch it in our lives, and then for them to just think, well, that's the natural course of events of anyone that knows the Lord. I want to certainly be transformed by the Word of God, and I want to give my life. There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind. The Bible compels all of us to this position of yieldedness, and this is the will of God. Number three, would you turn over to 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as we consider the will of God and His direction, it doesn't come to us like it did to Elijah. It doesn't come to us like it did to Jonah. It doesn't come to us like it did to the Apostle Paul, but it's actually very clear here. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." The word that is used here is that word for all types of physical intimacy that are done outside of marriage and outside of the marriage bond. And God says to all of us very clearly here, He says, "Ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." This is how I rightly direct my life and my body and the fact that it is to be the temple of the Most High God. So think about this with me for a moment. An individual comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They then surrender themselves or yield themselves to whatever God would have them to do with their life, Romans 12, 1 and 2. They take another step and they say, "You know what, to the best of my ability and with the grace of God and the help of God, I'm going to maintain this vessel and I'm going to keep it pure that it might be used to the greatest extent for the work of Almighty God." And so he warns us right here, listen, there are a lot of things that will seek to tempt you away from this, but I want you to possess your vessel and to abstain from fornication. All of this impurity that is outside of marriage, I want you to be very careful in this matter because it destroys people's potential. I could give story after story after story of young people that had great potential. But this arena of temptation really took that potential away. Young people, if your parents have set up boundaries to protect you in this area of purity, do not be upset with that. Don't begrudge it. Don't debate them over an hour of curfew. Mom and Dad's desire to protect you in this area, and I know even, again, in directing the lives of two young men, boy, we want to be very sensitive to this because this is the will of God for their lives. And boy, I tell you what, Satan is very good at posting the billboard and having people think that they'll be able to accomplish all their desires, and he doesn't reveal what's actually behind the temptation and the destruction that occurs. And it's very clear again here. It says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. When you're in your walk with Almighty God and you're using the Word of God to have application in the life that God has given to you, listen, this is a critical area. Know how to possess your vessel. Look at number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pastor, if I was just in the position of Elijah and I had God speak to me and tell me that I was supposed to go here and then here and then here, and I was supposed to say this and supposed to say this. If I just had the details like Jonah did, that I was supposed to take the word and then go deliver it to this place, then I would follow the will of God. Well, the truth of the matter is that we have some very distinctive statements in the Word of God about the will of God. And I really see on so many occasions that we're departing from the very well-known will of God and then claiming that it's just too mystical. I just don't know what He wants for my life. Well, the Bible makes it very clear again here. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Boy, a thankful spirit is awful tough. A lot of things that can happen in our daily lives and we just say, well, there's not much to thank God about in that area or that area. But the Bible says here very clearly that this ought to be the pattern of my life. That I'm grateful, that I'm thankful for what God has done. That I'm thankful for His blessings and His goodness to us. So let me ask you this. Are you on a daily basis violating the will of God for your life because you're an absolute complainer? Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? I just find my way to complaining over and over again. Well, the Bible says that if you are in that mode, that you're out of God's will. And you need to adjust that attitude. Let me show you one final thing tonight. Number 1, the will of God is for everyone to be saved. Number 2, the will of God is for every believer to surrender their life, yield their life to the work of the Lord. Have you done that? It is, as Dr. Sexton said many years ago in a message, he said, young people, give Almighty God a blank piece of paper and let God fill it out. Give Him the blank piece of paper and let Him fill it out. So often we'll ask young people, well, what do you think you're going to do when you graduate? And the young person's like, well, I'm not sure what I want to do yet. It's not that often that I'll hear a young person say, it does happen, but it's not that often that I'll hear them say, well, I'm not quite sure yet what God wants me to do. But all of us should present our lives as living sacrifices, just saying, Lord, here's my life. I'll go wherever You'd want me to go. I'll do whatever You want me to do. And I'll say whatever You'd have me to say. The will of God is for everyone to abstain from fornication, to know how to possess their vessel. Again, if you're outside of any one of these things, you're very clearly outside of God's will for your life. But let me show you one more thing. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 tonight. And this is very important because you either believe God in what He says here or you don't believe God. There's no in between. There's no in between. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 17. Here's the fifth thing. The will of God is the path to greatest usefulness and blessing. The Word of God is the path to greatest usefulness and blessing. Look what the Bible says here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, if that be the case, then I surely want to know the will of God. I want to know exactly where God wants me to go. I want to know exactly what He wants me to do. I want to be right where God would have me to be, and I want to be there for as long as He'd have me to be there. And when He's ready to move me, then I want to be willing to move. I want to be yielded to whatever He says. The world passeth away. Do you believe that? All the stuff that the world's investing in, it's going to pass away. Are you investing like a worldly man? Or do you understand, okay, that's all going to be temporal? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Tonight, as you survey your own life, would you say, I'm exactly where God wants me to be? I'm exactly where He wants me to be. Well, one quick way that you can take stock and survey of His exact will is by just walking down through these things and saying, okay, I know the Lord is my Savior. God knows that I'm willing to do whatever He wants me to do. My life is His. If He wants me here in this place, I'm willing to be here in this place. If He wants me someplace else, I'm willing to be in that place. But I want to be exactly where God wants me to be. Are you possessing your vessel as you ought? Are you living a life that is not pure before God? Well, if that's the case, then you know for a fact that you're out of the will of God. And when you're out of the will of God, He's not going to be directing you step by step. You're in a very dangerous position. Are you a thankful spirit? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you thankful in spirit, or are you what I'd call the complainer in spirit? Well, God says if you have that kind of spirit, you're not right with Him. It's very clear. And then He says, for those of you that will choose my path, this is the greatest path for blessing. You know, someone like David Brainerd lived 29 years and passed away early in life. He was a missionary to the American Indians. God used him in a wonderful way. Someone like John the Baptist, mentioned him this morning, passed away at what we would call a premature stage of life. Not much older than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, but He passed away. Tragically, we don't really realize the value of every single day that God's given to us. And every day that we live outside of the will of God, it's a day that we'll never get back again. You might as well just kind of wad it up and throw it away because you're never going to get it back. But for all the days that I do have, boy, I'd sure like for the vast majority of those days to count. I wanted to count for eternity. You say, well, Pastor, how's that going to happen? That's going to happen if you and I do exactly what God wants us to do. Young people, can I just tell you tonight that the best life lived is the one that's lived in the exact will of God? And again, it's not given to you by decades. It's not given to you by five-year increments. It's given to you day by day. And just saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to go down through these things. I'm going to seek to honor You with my vessel. I'm going to seek to be a grateful spirit. I'm going to seek to be a yielded spirit. And then in the end, you'll look back over the life and you'll say, boy, that was the best path. Is the path of Almighty God the easiest path? No. It's not the easiest path. Are there a lot of bumps and bruises along the way in the will of God? Yes. There's a lot of difficulties and so forth. But I tell you what, I can say with great confirmation that the path that God laid out for me and for my wife, since we've been together, we can look back and we can see the clear markers of God's divine leadership. And where we talked about what we thought would be best and what would be greatest and what would be just the smoothest path and the most enjoyable path, you know what? Most, if not all of it, didn't work that way. But God would step in each arena, and He said to us on a number of different occasions through His Word, my way is best. And I really believe tonight that if we would grasp just these simple, straightforward things from the New Testament, we'd change the outcome of our children's lives We change the emphasis of where we're placing it as parents and trying to encourage them. I really believe that we'd see great things take place in the lives of our young men with them even being called into the ministry. And just saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If we would accept what the New Testament says, we'd kind of distance ourselves from this thought that that's only for those that are in the ministry. It's only for those people on church staff that have to know the will of God. When in truth, this applies to all of us tonight. And it is my prayer that each one of us will experience that greatest level of blessing because we're exactly where God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your revealed will. And thank you so very much for granting to us these scriptural passages that direct us in what is best. This is very simple and very straightforward. It's not mystical, not hard to understand. We can see it very clearly. And again, it's not determined by decades. It's just determined by each step. And walking in the steps in a way that would please you. And so I pray right now from the youngest person in the auditorium, the youngest one watching online, I pray that you'd put within them a spirit that says, my life is yours, God. Use it however you see fit. Pray that we as parents would step up in the direction of our children's lives and say to our children, Mom, Dad, love you with all of our hearts. But the greatest joy would come to us to know that you're walking in the right path, whether that be near or far away. Just the knowledge to know that you're right where God wants you to be. I pray that you'd help all of us to possess our vessel well. God specifically deals with the matter of fornication and impurity outside of marriage. Help each one to be very mindful of the ways that Satan would seek to use the lure of the flesh to ruin our potential. Help us to be vigilant in this area. We possess our vessel in honor. Lord, help us to be a grateful people. Oh, not everything that happens in a given day is roses and wonderful things. There are many things that are tough. But Lord, give us such a spirit that says even through the tough things, we are going to thank God and praise Him because we know He is at work. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one to make the determination tonight that they're going to abide in the will of God, because that is the path of greatest usefulness and greatest blessing. Again, I pray that each adult tonight here at FBT would model this. We would demonstrate it to others. Hey, I believe with all my heart that I'm right where God wants me to be. And then trust Him to lead in the very next step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Father, as we have a quiet time of prayer tonight, would you help each one that's gathered here in this auditorium or those that are gathered online, I pray that they would just humbly pray out or pray to you tonight and cry out and say, Lord, help me to be in the center of your will. I want you to go with me. I want you to direct. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, just in the quietness of the next few moments, would you discern your own walk with the Lord tonight? Would you say to Almighty God, search me, know me? From the youngest in the auditorium to the oldest, would you say, yes, Pastor, I believe with all my heart that I'm exactly where God would have me to be. Doing just exactly what God would have me to do. I just want that place of greatest usefulness. I want to be a part of that place of greatest blessing. Parents, are you struggling tonight? Because your children may be used of the Lord in another country, in another continent, and you're just struggling tonight and saying, I just don't want that to happen. I want them to stay close by. Well, that's tough, moms and dads. It's tough, grandparents, but It'd be far better to have your children right where God wants them to be. So will you commit to that matter tonight? Will you give your children, your grandchildren to the Lord and just say, God, they're yours. Please use them. Would you pray tonight? Just say, Lord, search me.